Before last year, Kathy Carlson never imagined she could end up homeless. She lived in public housing, but was evicted for failure to pay her rent. She says she didn't have an income and she didn't know where to turn.
Because I was not on my medication. I had 3 strokes and I have to be on antidepressants. And I wasn't. And I couldn't say 2 words without crying.
Eventually, the Sitka Homeless Coalition and another local organization helped her find and rent a room in someone's house. She says she's back on her medication and she's reapplying for disability and public housing. All of that has been a lot easier with a roof over her head.
I got my place and I was able to go see my doctors. And I mean, I could have when I was homeless, but they always ask you where you live, you know, and it was embarrassing to say in my car, Crescent Harbor usually.
Still, Carlson was homeless for a year. If Sitka had a local shelter or temporary housing, she could have gotten back on her feet a lot sooner. According to a 2020 survey, 17 people in Sitka are homeless, although the number is likely higher. Gail Young, who heads up the Sitka Homeless Coalition, puts the number of people who are chronically unhoused at around 15.
And I think probably other people are quite fascinated by the idea that we're just looking to house 15 people when they have thousands to house.
Young worked for years to open a winter night shelter in Sitka, but the going wasn't easy.
And no one would allow us the use of their building. They wouldn't rent to us. They wouldn't rent to us for just 2 weeks trial. Every answer was no.
Young was determined not to give up. So the coalition started a laundry and showers program to help anyone in Sitka facing housing insecurity. And as they continued building relationships with those they serve, Young started to realize that a shelter might not be the right solution anyway. Many of the people the coalition serves are older. They have disabilities and substance abuse disorders. A lot of them are constantly in need of basic supplies because they don't have a place to lock up their things.
They need the whole home situation, not just a night 6 months of the year on the floor.
Young and coalition volunteer Hannah Green started scouring the web and making phone calls.
And we were looking at like big cities, small cities, rural community, like how did you start? How did it work? What doesn't work?
2 pieces of advice stood out. The first was to implement a housing first model. The idea is to get someone into housing as quickly as possible and then offer them supportive services on site. There's no time limit to how long someone can stay and very few requirements.
What they found is that after someone has a place and maybe a lock on the door and all their stuff in one spot, then they can start thinking about other things in their life, like a job and sobriety and reconnecting with their families and all of that.
The second was to build individual units rather than group housing, so everyone has a space of their own, which can alleviate safety concerns. Young and Green envisioned a community of 12 tiny homes. Each one would have a small kitchen and bed, there'd be a communal shower and laundry facility, and an employee on site to help connect people with services if they want them. The next question was where to put it.
You see the pink ribbon?
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
There.
Young, Green, and Carlson dodge branches as they hunt for pink flagging in a wooded lot at the end of Jarvis Street. This undeveloped land belongs to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. The trust recently sent a surveyor to mark a 2-acre section for the potential tiny home project.
This land right here and back in here has been traditionally where homeless people have had camps.
The trust serves people with mental illnesses and substance abuse issues, among other things. CEO Mike Abbott says the trust's 1 million acres of land is typically used to generate revenue for trust programs, things like logging, mining, or oil and gas development. But when Young approached them about leasing the land for a project that directly benefits those they serve, they thought, why not?
So that's a little bit different, but it's a welcome difference as far as we're concerned.
Nothing is finalized. Abbott says the coalition will need to demonstrate a feasible financial plan before they'll consider a formal grant proposal. The trust paid for a planning report that puts startup costs at just over $1 million. They'll also want to see strong community support, which city planning director Amy Ainsley says has been an issue in the past.
Yeah, sometimes finding an ideal location can be difficult because it's one of those things that people can support in abstract, but might have strong opinions about where, you know, where is the appropriate place.
Building partnerships, bringing in utilities, clearing the land, the challenges are endless. But Young is unfazed.
Things have just worked out just in an amazing way. And so I've learned to just not go there until it's time to be there.
She says eventually they could add more services, like a community garden, life skills classes, and employment opportunities. But the first priority is to get people out of the rain and sleeping on mattresses. Housing first. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.